It's the 4th of July, the day we celebrate our nation's independence. It's also a great day to take stock of your financial independence. Hi, I'm Rob West. Are you on the road to financial freedom or falling under the bondage of money? It's one or the other. Either you control your money or your money controls you. I'll talk about that today. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Independence gave our nation freedom, and financial independence also gives freedom, the freedom to make choices. But to get there, you must gain control over your money. When you do, you'll have a greater ability to decide many things: where and how you live, where you work, and how much you work. Now, when we talk about financial freedom or independence, we are definitely not talking about independence from God. He owns everything and provides everything we need to live and to serve His kingdom. James 1:17 reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Even our ability to earn money comes from God. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day." Now, to be sure, God wants you to be financially free, because that allows you to be more generous and to serve Him more fully. Sadly, folks often say they'd love to give more to God's kingdom, but they just can't afford to. The more you control the money flowing through your household, the more generous you can be. And that's why we should all be on the road to financial freedom. So how do you know if you've made a wrong turn somewhere? Look for a signpost that says debt. The greater your debt, the less freedom you have. Proverbs 22:7 puts it rather bluntly. The rich rule over the poor. The borrower is the slave of the lender. That's because when you're in debt, you're really working for someone else, not yourself, and certainly not for God. The more you have to pay out each month to service your debt, the less freedom you have to use that money in other ways, like serving God more fully. Now, there's more to being financially free than just avoiding debt. Unfortunately, debt is just one form of financial bondage. There's another that's more difficult to recognize. With this form of financial bondage, you may have no debt at all. That's because you can be rolling in money and still be slave to it. This bondage is the mindset that material things will make you happy. When you think that way, you strive to acquire more and more. But the truth is, after a certain point, you no longer own things. They own you. You have to care for them, clean them, store them, secure them. The more you acquire, the more restricted you become. Money, of course, is just a tool to be used wisely or not. Having a lot of it can enslave you just as effectively as having debt if you're not careful. And while wealth itself is not evil, the Bible has clear warnings about your attitude toward it. It comes down to a heart issue. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Here are the danger signs for this type of financial bondage. First, you think so much about money that you have no peace with God. Your focus is day-to-day rather than eternal. You can't give as generously as you would like or think you should. An opportunity comes along to be more generous. You have the money, but you just can't make yourself do it. You think, "I might need that money for something else," so you don't act when you feel God is leading you. If that happens repeatedly, you're in financial bondage. Then there's a lack of contentment. You always want bigger, better, faster. You're not content with God's provision. You crave more. When you think that way, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it'll never be enough. Ecclesiastes 5:10 reads, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." So how do you get back on the road to financial freedom? Well, obviously, if you're in debt, you have to stop borrowing, get on a budget, and start paying down your debt. The FaithFi app can help you set up your budget quickly and easily. Learn more at faithfi.com. If you have the other form of financial bondage with plenty of money and possessions but no peace, try giving more. Giving actually breaks the power that money has to enslave us. And if you follow God's principles for managing money, avoid debt, save diligently, and give generously, you can experience true financial freedom. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
The late Helen Keller was, throughout her life, a champion for those who, like her, were living with disabilities. She famously lost her sight and her hearing after an illness as a baby. And today, for anyone struggling with a physical disability, here's some good news in Christ. One day, He will heal us completely and present us with a new, glorious body. Jesus gives us a taste of this heavenly reality as He preaches in Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus promises to save us, body and soul. Grow in your walk with Jesus. Try Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
For centuries, America has enjoyed the blessings of religious freedom. But today, our religious liberties are threatened by those who ignore God and stray from our Christian heritage. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how Christians in America can be salt and light in our rapidly declining culture. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance Live recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. Hey, before we head to the phones today, in the news today, older Americans have serious concerns regarding future health care costs. That's the finding in a University of Michigan national poll on aging. Of the top six concerns about healthcare in the poll, five of them had to do with medical costs. The other concern also dealt with money, notably financial scams and frauds. Of those surveyed for the poll, 56% of folks over the age of 50 said they're concerned about health care costs for the elderly. The same percentage was concerned about assisted living costs, while 53% worried about scams and fraud. The results show the importance of course, maintaining sufficient health insurance in later years and seriously considering long-term care insurance. Other surveys actually show that about 70% of Americans reaching age 65 will need long-term care at some point, and one of the key ways to offset those costs is long-term care insurance. In fact, there's two things that jump out at me. Medical costs in this season of life, being elderly. The second being this idea of significant financial scams and fraud. Both are things that we should be paying attention to. I mentioned the stat about 70% of those in this season of life, 65 and older, will need long-term care. That's typically going to come down to, somewhere between 2 and 4 years that they'll need it, but at $10,000 a month, and that's what care can look like if you need full nursing care, well, that can erode your assets in a hurry. So what we say is for those between $200,000 in assets and $2 million, which is a big swath of the American investor, you really need to look at long-term care insurance. Now, it can be expensive. We recognize that. And so that's why you've got to make sure it fits into your budget, not only on day one, but that you can absorb increases along the way, because we certainly have seen those, and they can be 25%. In some cases, folks are paying double what they originally paid. And you might say, Rob, how do I anticipate that? And I realize you can't. Now, if you get to a place where you're seeing dramatic increases in the cost of the premium for long-term care insurance, there are ways to deal with it. Notably, you might need to go back to the insurance company and actually ask for a reduction in benefits. Maybe they're going to back you down on the daily benefit amount that they'll pay. Maybe they're going to increase the waiting period, the period from which you qualify for the long-term care insurance policy to start paying out, and when they actually pay it out. Maybe it moves from a month or 2 months to 6 months, something like that. All of these things can help you kind of right-size that premium if it gets out of control. But apart from that, you're just going to have to rely on your own assets to be able to cover this major cost. And of course, if you spend your assets down, you would have to rely on Medicaid at that point. That would mean that you're going into a Medicaid-approved facility, which may not be what you're looking for. So I think you've got to consider long-term care insurance in this season of life. Make sure it fits the budget and the increases, but it is something important, I think, to look at as you consider this. Now, the other piece of this survey is, of course, those concerned about financial scams and fraud. And, in this season of life, there are some very real concerns there. We're seeing more and more of these all the time. Here's some of the more popular or common ones that we're seeing today. One is the grandparent scam. So this is a type of social engineering attack where the fraudsters actually claim the victim's grandchild is in trouble. So they might be pretending to be police, calling and saying the grandchild has been in an accident or involved in a crime, and they'll ask them to take out large sums of money or make a wire transfer to, quote, save their grandchild. They might even use the real name of the victim's grandchild along with other identifying information to make it more believable. You just need to let those seniors in your life, or if you're in that category listening today, just be on your guard for that. If you hear something along these lines, that should kind of trigger a warning sign. An unsolicited call from someone claiming that a grandchild or a loved one is in danger should immediately put those red flags up. Often they'll ask for money as cash, gift cards, or wire transfers. Don't let them, get off the phone or threaten you if you try to verify the information. All of these things, I think, are things you need to be looking for. Another of the more common ones is a government imposter scam. So this is where the fraudsters contact older people claiming to be representatives from a well-known government agency. So think Medicare, IRS, even the Social Security Administration. They may use what's called a caller ID spoofing tactic, where when it, you look at your phone, it actually says Internal Revenue Service or Social Security Administration. And this is, again, one way for them to try to seem legitimate. Well, once you're on the line, you know, they're perhaps even going to tell you what your Social Security number is to try to legitimize the call. Now, what they'll typically do is they'll, you know, ask you for instance, in the case of the IRS, they'll say there's an issue with your return and they'll collect information to, quote, secure your tax file. But in reality, they'll use it to file phony tax refunds and commit identity theft. In the Social Security scam, they're going to claim your Social Security number has been suspended due to an alleged crime. And in order to reinstate it, they're going to demand payment, usually in the form of gift cards. Now, these seem obvious when we hear about them. And yet, in the midst of somebody kind of being concerned about what they're hearing, often they'll do things they know they shouldn't. In other cases, it might be a Medicare scam where they're claiming to be a Medicare representative and they're calling to verify, quote unquote, your Medicare number. And if you oblige, they'll use it to steal your health benefits, which is medical identity theft. Or they might claim that the victim needs to pay a fee to receive a new card or special treatment and ask for credit card numbers. These are all tactics we just need to be on guard against. And I would say you need to let those seniors in your life know about these so that they can be aware of them. And, you know, perhaps when something like this happens, they can take steps to not fall prey to these fraudsters. By the way, another big one, and this really goes for any age, is the whole idea of a phishing scam, where essentially you're clicking on a link in an email, you're responding to somebody who's calling on the phone, giving out sensitive information when you know you shouldn't. So just be on your guard there. Use some common practices of being aware, but also no public Wi-Fi in terms of doing financial business, and never give out information to somebody who's calling you. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment, but let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in, but we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. We will take a quick break and back with much more after this. Stick around.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit afa.net and click on Streaming.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at guidestonefunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at afa.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President, Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tabs. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Before we head to the phones today, some interesting info in the news. Americans can't stop, apparently, spaving. That's right. This is essentially spending more to save more, also known as spaving. That's exactly right. It's a common pitfall. The opportunities for so-called spaving are nearly everywhere, whether it's the lure of a limited time deal or a buy one, get one free, or tacking on additional items to get to bigger discount or simply to reach the free shipping threshold. But spending to save can actually lead to excessive buying habits and high interest credit card debt if you aren't careful. By nearly every measure, Americans are financially strained, yet even as inflation and high interest rates squeeze budgets, consumers continue to fall for these financial traps. So what do you do about this so-called spaving, that is, spending to save more? Well, here's a couple of ideas. Create some shopping hurdles. If you're shopping online, delete stored payment details. That can create a purchase hurdle that forces you to think through your buying decision, so it's not just the instant click of a button. Set some time rules. When in doubt, sleep on it. Give yourself 24 hours to think through a purchase before you hit that buy button. Chances are you will have moved on. Do the math. For some buy more, save more deals, the percent discount is often the same but disguised as a greater value. For instance, getting $20 off $100 is no better than $10 off $50, so don't let this fool you into buying more. And then finally, pay with cash. Buying big-ticket purchases in cash can also help to avoid impulse spending. You're less likely to part with your hard-earned dollars on something you didn't plan to buy or don't really need when you're handing over actual bills. In fact, the studies say you'll spend 30% less if you spend with actual cash. So something to keep in mind. Maybe a new term for you, spaving. Just keep on the lookout for them luring you in to save more by spending more. It doesn't always work out in your favor. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Missouri. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I cashed out $16,000 in stocks that I have for the purpose of giving $50,000 into our church building fund. And the balance of that $50,000 is going to come from our savings account. So will I have any tax liability for cashing out the stock that I should be aware of?
You certainly could. What type of account did it come out of? Was it from a taxable account or was it a retirement account?
No, it was, well, I got a disbursement every year from the stock before I cashed it out, and they gave me the option of cashing it out. So it's not a retirement stock as such, no.
Okay. So you've already been taxed on this as a part of your compensation, is that right?
No, I don't think I have been, no.
Okay. So you just need to understand the implications of that. So typically, if it's a part, so would it be like a stock purchase plan? Is that right? Or was this just a part of your compensation as they gave you shares of the company?
That's right. The latter. That's right.
Okay. And so did these vest over a period of time? When did they become available to you?
I mean, they were probably became available 30 years ago. So I was fully vested back when I worked at the former employer.
Okay. So what you're probably going to have is capital gains that you will have to pay on this. You're going to want to check with your CPA just to see, depending upon how this was structured, you know, when you receive these stock awards, they're typically taxed on their value as of the vest date. That's the date they became available to you. And then they're treated as income and you pay tax on them. And then from that point forward, if you don't liquidate them, you then can incur a capital gain. And that is only based on the sale. So what we would have to do is your CPA would help you establish the cost basis, which was the value when you received it or when it became taxable to you, if it was a stock option that was vested. And then any gain from that point forward is a capital gain, and that's going to be based on the amount of taxable income you have in the year of the sale will determine whether you pay 0, 15%, or 20% on the appreciation, the difference between what you sold it for and what you bought it for or received it at. So there's a couple of kind of hoops to jump through here. And then with regard to you being efficient in this gift, I think given that you're going to be giving a large gift in 1 year, there's a good likelihood that you're going to, you know, be able to go over, well, certainly with a $50,000 gift, you will. You'll go over the standard deduction, which means you'll be able to itemize your taxes and claim this charitable contribution to a not-for-profit. In this case, it's, I think you said it was your church. And then take a tax deduction against that. So the first question is, talk to your CPA about the taxation related to the shares of stock. Have you already recognized them as income previously? And then do you now have to recognize a capital gain? And then secondly, you know, make sure you get the deduction for the amount that you are giving. In the future, what I'd rather you do is send the gift of the stock to the church before you sell it. Let them sell the stock. You get the full tax deduction for the full amount, and you miss the capital gain. But you have to give it before you sell it in order to do that. Do you have a CPA that you work with?
No, I don't.
Okay. This would probably be the year to do that.
Okay.
Just because you know, it depends on whether it was restricted stock or unrestricted stock. And he's going to want to go back and look at kind of was this, did you already pay tax on it or not? And so I think there's just some moving parts here that you want to get right so it doesn't ever come back to bite you down the road.
Come back and bite you. Yeah. Okay.
Right? Okay. So, and then in the future, I would say let's give then sell if you do this again with stock. I've got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, Steve. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance. So let's go to Nashville. Hi, Lori. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. To diversify my portfolio, is there an insurance stock fund?
Yeah.
First question. And then the second question would be, what do you think about fixed index annuity? But I really am interested about the insurance stock fund if one exists.
Yes. So let me just make sure I'm understanding. So you want a mutual fund or exchange traded fund that primarily invests in companies within the insurance industry, as opposed to an insurance product that just has investments in it. You specifically want to invest in the industry of insurance.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there absolutely are. So again, these would be both in the form of mutual funds, which the only difference between a mutual fund and exchange traded fund is they're both a basket of investments. So they can allow you to be, you know, to pick a certain sector or segment of the stock market or a specific asset class and invest just in that, but do it in a diversified way. So you're not having to pick all the individual companies. You just invest in the fund itself. Now, mutual funds, just trade a little differently. You get the price of at the end of the day called the net asset value, and you can only buy it after hours. You can place your trade during the day, but you'll get the end of the day's net asset value. Whereas an exchange traded fund is similar in that it's a basket of investments, but it trades like a stock. So you can buy and sell it at any point during the trading day. But in your case, you would be looking for those that specifically invest in companies within the insurance industry. So this would include various types of insurers like property and casualty, life insurance, health insurance, could be also brokers and service providers. And so you would be getting exposure to the insurance sector, and you would do that because you think this particular industry has potential for growth and stability. They also generate a lot of steady cash flow and tend to be fairly resilient during economic declines, just because most people don't drop their insurance because they need it. They can, though, be affected by things like natural disasters or a large-scale economic shift. So they do have some sensitivities, just like any sector does. But yes, the short answer is you absolutely can find those. And you would just want to do a search probably at one of the big exchange-traded funds platforms like iShares or one of those.
Okay. And then what are your general thoughts about a fixed index annuity?
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of a fixed indexed annuities, just you know, it depends on, you know, what you're looking to accomplish. So essentially, and let's just make sure we're talking apples to apples here. You know, this is where you are looking for steady retirement income based on the performance of an underlying index. And so it could be any number of indexes. So, for instance, take the most famous, like the S&P 500. So unlike owning stocks, you are protected against most losses, but your total upside return is limited. And that's how they protect you on the downside, by taking some of the upside. So once you annuitize this, during your accumulation period, it's growing based on whatever the underlying index is. So that could be generally a stock market index. And again, you get a portion of the upside with a floor on the downside. And then at some point, what typically happens is you would annuitize this, which would convert it to an income stream. Who are these for? Well, they're for people who want to really protect the downside. And so it's very common for that floor to be a 0%, where at the worst case, you would break even, but you'd never lose money. And if that's really important to you for this part of your investment portfolio, then this could be an option. But you do have to take with that the minimum return, because they might pay a small guaranteed interest rate or return no matter how the market performs. But again, you're not going to get the full upside. There are quite a bit of fees. So, you know, those are going to weigh on your performance for sure. And there's a cap on the return. So they're going to set a limit on the amount of returns you can receive on the upside. So, for instance, and this is not every fixed index annuity, but one example would be, they might say, no matter how high the index goes, you can only get at best 5% on your money, even if the index is up 15% or 20% or more. So I think that's the downside. So my preference is to assume that risk and then build a properly diversified portfolio, take the full upside, but yes, with that, you take the downside, but you mitigate against that risk by having a properly diversified portfolio. And as you age, you'd move more toward fixed income type investments like bonds and CDs and, you know, corporate and government bonds, things like that. But if you feel like you could get more peace of mind by having a guarantee from an insurance company, and you're willing to lose, you know, access to your capital in part, and you're willing to take the limited upside in exchange for that downside protection, then that's where this could be an effective tool for you. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So thank you so much. And I'll check the iShares platform for the insurance stock fund.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones. You know, if you're looking for other ETF companies, you probably want to look, in addition to iShares, you could look at Invesco. You could look at a State Street, and then perhaps Vanguard would be the other one. You could also check Charles Schwab. I like Schwab a lot. Any of those will likely have an insurance sector ETF. Hey, thanks for your call today, Lori. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Montana. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call, Rob. I enjoy listening to your program quite often.
Well, thank
and
you
I
very
would
much.
Like to ask you a question that I haven't heard before, but this is my particular issue.
Okay.
I have a balance due at the hospital, and I have been trying to whittle that down $100 a month. And when I get my statement, I get the same balance that I had the last statement, and I don't have them show any credits that I have put on that account. So I have put two different calls into them. They said, well, we'll call you back within 3 days. I never get the call. So I put in another call and say, I really would like to know if you can show me where my payments are being reflected.
Yes.
And then my other thought was, well, why don't I call the office of the administrator? It's a it's a corporation. Why don't I call them and say, hey, how come I can't get any response when I'm trying to whittle down my bill?
Yes. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that you're going through this, Jerry, and you're doing all the things I would have said. First of all, you absolutely want to take an active role in resolving this payment discrepancy. You know, I would continue to call, because I'd love for you to be able to do this electronically. It's certainly more expedient. But as a second measure, perhaps you send copies through the mail with payment proofs to the hospital's billing department and ask that they either email you or through the mail acknowledge the discrepancy and show you documentation that your payments have been applied, because this proactive step is going to take that step toward getting this resolved. It could be that they're being misapplied to a different patient's account or not processed due to errors in entering the information, although the fact that it's happening over and over again tells me that it's something bigger going on here. But whether it's through the mail or over the phone, you just need to stay on it and continue to hound that billing department until you get an answer. I would have said as a next measure, and you've done this, let's go to the hospital's administration as a next step. I've got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go out to Montana and welcome Toby to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a recently sold a property, what I'd like to do is reinvest the money from the sale of that property into my business and possibly another investment property. And so my question is, what are my tax obligations going to be for the sale of that property? And is there a way that I can put that into something like a 1031 or similar use that money, for reinvestment and not be taxed on it as income? So that's really my question.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So let me just clarify, Toby, this property in Montana that you sold, it was not your primary residence. Is that right?
No, that's correct. I built it 10 years ago.
Okay, very good. And so have you been renting it out, or what have you been doing with it?
No, just using it. It's a recreation property and with the cabin, and so we've just been using it.
Okay, very good. And you said your gain on it was $225,000. Go over those numbers for me, if you will. Just kind of your selling price and your original cost basis, plus the improvements you put into it.
Yes. So I spent about $90,000. In total, on the property and the building that's on there. It's a cabin. And I sold it for $250,000, left the money to my real estate agent, which actually comes out to $235,000, not $225,000.
Okay. All right. Very good. And did you put a lot of money into it? Have you factored that in?
Just that initial investment to buy the property and build the building. So it's other than my annual taxes and general upkeep, I don't have a substantial amount of investment other than that initial investment.
Okay, got it. All right. And yeah, so the question here is, and I would probably talk to a 1031 exchange expert, because you're going to need to use someone that specializes in that anyway. What is your intention? Are you wanting to roll it into a similar property? And would that be a vacation home? Or would that be, you know, a rental property now?
Okay. So what I'd like to do is take a portion of that money and invest it into my business, and then have the remainder used for an additional property, which I haven't determined what that will be yet. But we're thinking about something that will generate income. So a rental property would be
okay.
Something we'd be looking at.
Yeah, the challenge is that, you know, my understanding is that, you'd want to check with a CPA on this. If the property was used exclusively as a vacation or a second home, it can't be sold as a part of a 1031 exchange. And so I think the key is this was not used by you for, you know, I think the words are productive use in a trade or business or for investment. And, you know, a vacation home or a second home is neither held for a productive use in a trade or a business or for an investment. And so I think for that reason, this is not going to qualify for a 1031 exchange, which would mean that you would just then treat this as a long-term capital gain for whatever the appreciation, the gain was in the property. It sounds like you've already calculated that. And that would fall under the long-term capital gains rates for 2024, you know, if this is the year in which you sold it. And those rates right now depend upon, of course, your taxable income for the year. So for 2024, if you're married filing jointly, if your income is between $94,051 and $583,750, you'd be in the 15% capital gains rate. Below $94,051, you'd be at a 0% rate. Above $583,000, you'd be at 20%. And that would be just on the gain in the property.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Very good. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's see. We're going to go to Shorewood, Illinois. Hi, Eric. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Just a quick question. I refinanced my car and I'm paying an extra $115 over what was the amount. And I called recently, or I've been receiving statements, and realized that my bill is not changing. The extra $115 is not doing anything. That doesn't seem right to me.
Hmm. Okay, so you're paying the extra payments, but you're not seeing it reduce the principal balance. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so have you called your loan servicer to inquire about that?
Yes, I called, and they are basically saying I financed for 73 months. I've paid 32 more payments, and I have 41 more payments to make. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. I should have less payments because I'm paying an extra $115 that should go towards the principal.
Yeah. Do you have online access where you can log in and see kind of a running balance and the payments that are being applied to the account?
Yes, and when I go in, I see that every time I pay, they take interest of the total amount I'm paying.
Right.
The amount, the extra amount I'm paying, they are still taking interest out of it.
Okay, yeah, something's not right there. Because what should happen is, as long as you're covering at least the monthly payment, the scheduled payment should cover the principal and interest based on the schedule. And then anything you send above that, which you're sending something in excess of that, right, that should go directly to principal.
That's the argument I've been trying to make on the phone with one of the customer service people, that they are telling me a story that it doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And so they're basically taking, they're only applying a portion of the extra amount to the principal because they're taking interest off of even the amount you're sending above the monthly payment, correct?
Exactly. I'm supposed to be paying the final the loan for $385. I'm paying $500, but they are taking interest out of the $500.
Yeah, yeah. And did they have a place online when you where you can make a payment where you can indicate a portion of it going to principal reduction separate from your monthly payment?
I have to look into that. But when I started, when I refinanced, I talked to somebody and I actually told them that's what I wanted.
Yes. Okay.
So,
Yeah. What I would do is two things. One is check to see where online, if they have a place specifically for principal reduction. And because what happens is when you pay an auto loan, typically your monthly payment is first applied to any fees due, if you have any late fees or anything like that. And then the next portion is applied to whatever interest is due, but they're required for anything beyond that for it to go against principal. So I would probably ask for a manager or somebody to get on the line to say, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm willing to pay the minimum payment for the month, but I need the extra amount I'm sending to go directly to principal. I'm not prepaying the next month or anything like that. How do you want me to do it? Do I need to do it in two checks? Is there a special way to do it online? And see if you can get beyond just the person who picks up the phone to maybe a next level of management that could help you navigate what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let us know how it turns out, Eric. God bless you, sir. We're going to finish today in Central Illinois. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to thank you for the job you do. It's a wonderful service.
Thank you.
And my question is, I have a government pension from a police department, and I was not married the day I retired. I am now married. So the day I pass, my pension ends. And because I have a government pension, my Social Security is cut in half from what it normally would be. So my question is, if I was to pass before my wife, would that Social Security go back up to the normal rate?
No, it wouldn't. And I would check with the Social Security because this gets pretty complicated. But basically, you get spousal benefits if you're married to the to the spouse for at least one continuous year prior to applying for benefits. And then with the government pension offset, essentially, my understanding is, your spouse would likely be eligible to receive benefits. If you have that GPO, which you do, then the government pension offset reduces the Social Security benefits of spouses, widows and widowers, with pensions from a federal, state, or local government like you have, where you didn't pay the Social Security. And it would be reduced by 2/3 of the government pension offset amount. So whatever that government pension was, 2/3 of that would be reduced by what would otherwise be eligible spousal benefits. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's typically the way it works. But again, I think that's never a replacement for you scheduling a visit with the Social Security Administration, having them pull up your actual work record and giving you the specific numbers so you can build a budget around it. Because I think you're wise in thinking about, hey, what is the income source? What are those income sources going to be for my wife if you and I pass away, like on average we will, before our wives do? We want to be able to build a budget around that. And so having that information is a great starting point. Listen, all the best to you, Carl. Thanks for calling today. Hey, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you. Thanks to my amazing team, Adam, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow as we round out the week. We'll look for you on another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.